2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I apologize. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 17. The Bible says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Now, I know we're going through this series on the Word of God and the King James Bible, but let me just say, just to wrap up maybe the last 3-4 weeks in about 2 minutes or so. The most important thing you'll ever believe in your life is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you from your eternal hell and damnation for your punishment in hell. And only Jesus Christ, God Himself, came down on the cross and died on that cross to save us from hell. That is only found in the Word of God. As you'll see, probably I'll see how far we get today. If you do not have the Bible, the right book, your salvation will be messed up, your doctrine will be messed up, your teaching will be messed up, and every facet of your life in some area is going to be messed up because you don't have the very Word of God. Now, you hear me railing a lot, said, about the King James Bible, the King James Bible, the King James Bible. Say, why do you make such a big thing about the King James Bible? And I'm going to go through a list this morning. I hope this won't be boring. I pray you'll be paying attention. But here's a, for instance, before we even leave here, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God." If you get your ESV, ASV, NIV, I can't remember which ones which are which now, but they changed the word corrupt, and instead of using corrupt, they say peddle. Now, if you look up the English word for peddle, that means to, you know, sell something, either on the street, door to door. You're peddling something. You're giving away something for a little bit of a charge. You're peddling. That means you're selling. You'll see signs somewhere sometimes, no peddling, no soliciting. Well, that doesn't affect us because we're not selling anything. We're just giving the gospel away. It's free. But in order for you to sell something, even a door-to-door salesman, you have to go sometimes to a county or to town or a city and get a license or a permit to allow you to go to someone's house to peddle whatever merchandise you're peddling. The Bible doesn't say that we are not as many which peddle the Word of God. It says we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. So the same men, these deceiving men, philosophers, scholars, and theologians that are liars, that want to deceive the minds of God's people, change this book, and this is, for instance, right here, they are the ones corrupting the Word of God, but they took out the word corrupt and put the word peddle in. Well, guess what? We're supposed to give out the Word of God, sell it, give it, whatever you can do, just get it out, amen. There's nothing wrong with selling the Word of God. I mean, you know, if you go to a bookstore, you buy the Word of God. I think that's a good thing to do. That's what I did. I went and bought my King James Bible. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with giving away a Bible. Nothing wrong with that either. But here they would make you think that we're not as many which peddle the Word of God. But God says these are people that corrupt the Word of God. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter number 8, please. The Gospel of John chapter number 8. Verse number 44. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth." Watch this. "Because there is no truth in him." Once you take a clean glass of water, and you put one drop of strychnine in there, One drop of poison in there, and it ceases to be clean. You can have a book, or you can have some body of parchments, and you add one lie in there, it ceases to be truth. It may contain a lot of truth in it, but as a whole, it is no longer truth. And Jesus very clearly says, there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, watch this, and the father of it. So if you see these perversions, and we're going to go through the list as we've been going through these lists, that there are lies in the perversions that these publishers are printing, you know who the father of those are? The devil. This is Jesus' words. He said, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Every time a person lies, I don't care if it's a white lie, exaggeration, you call it anything you want, what you're saying is, my father is a devil. That's about what you ought to be saying when you lie. I don't care how much you exaggerate the truth and lie and stretch it out. Every time a person lies, what they are saying, in essence, my father's a devil. That's why God's people ought to be honest and not be false witnesses. We ought to be true. We ought to be witnesses of the truth. John came to bear witness of the truth, and we ought to bear witness of the truth. We ought not to make up a lie, or the scholars or the theologian make up and change the word of God into a lie. Take a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And starting in verse number 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's a very damning two verses right there. That means that Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light for the main purpose of deceiving people. The devil's not going to come to you, listen to me good, with a pitchfork, two horns, a long red tail, and a dragon suit, breathing fire and smoke out. He's not going to come to you as he is, like that. He is a dragon, but he's not going to come to you that way. He's going to come to you as a false apostle, smiling, giving people like that Jimmy Carter smile, you know, showing your ivories, you know, making people feel good about themselves. He'll be nice and charming. He'll have a winsome personality. He'll try to make everybody think that he's so good. Can you imagine John the Baptist walking around like that? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul walking around like that? Can you imagine Jeremiah in the dungeon being like that? Can you imagine Micaiah, who Ahab hated him? He said, he never preached anything good about me. I hate him, he says. Can you imagine these prophets of old, Moses, trying to have a winsome personality? How to win and influence friends, you know? How to get the job done? How to get the deal done? We're not talking about business. We're not talking about money. We're talking about the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. And so when you're reading these scriptures, you understand this, the devil's going to come to folks. I'm talking to religious folks. I'm talking to people that are saved. And trying to persuade you that, I believe that this is the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you or I believe. It matters what God says. Take a Bible. Please turn with me to Romans chapter number 1. And I want to go verse number 20. Well, let's go to verse 20. Might as well start there. Watch this. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every single person is without excuse. I'm telling you, listen to me good. God's word is true. And he says, let every man be a liar. Okay? One time or another in your life, God's going to show up and he's going to reveal to you himself in some way. And it's going to be at that point where you're going to have to acknowledge God or reject God. You're going to have to receive him as your Savior or reject him. Verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Watch this now. Professing themselves to be wise, like the scholars and theologians, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now watch this, please, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So what people have done, they've taken a book and they've changed it to suit their sinful lives or sinful lives, their sinful lifestyle, their sinful thinking. They've changed these words in the Word of God so they feel comfortable with whatever book or perversion they've come up with. It all goes back, be honest with you, who is God? And I struggled with this for about 2 or 3 months before I got saved because it really bothered me to when somebody told me that I was a sinner on my way to hell. I'll tell you what. You know, I just thought I had the right religion. I was Greek Orthodox. You know, the Greeks had Christianity first, which is a lie. But I'm just saying, you know, in a Greek mentality, that's what everybody thinks. If you're Greek, you know, Greeks had it first. You know, who are you to tell me? We have the oldest religion and blah, 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 blah. And I went through, I'm telling you, I went through this process in order to be saved, in order to get saved. Where did everything come from? You ever talk to an atheist? So-called atheist, so-called agnostic. You ought to ask a teacher, ask a professor, ask an atheist, and ask them the question, where did everything come from? They don't know. Don't move off of that subject. Stay right there. Well, if you don't know where we came from, and you don't know where everything came from, how do you believe everything else that you believe in? It defies logic, ladies and gentlemen. They want you to move away from the very foundational point that God created everything, that God made everything. They want you to move away from that as quickly as possible, and they want to show you all these fossils and these the geological periods, you know, and all the soils and how many billions and trillions of years old the universe is and the earth is and the crust. You stay on that point, number one. Where did everything come from? Ask a teacher, ask your professor, ask an atheist, ask them point blank. Can you tell me where everything came from? I know, because God tells me. I don't have to wonder about that. Not anymore. I used to think about it. I said, where do we go? Where do we come from? Where are we going? And what's happening? I had no idea before I got saved. But now, I know what God says. They hate God so much that they profess themselves to be wise. They become fools, the Bible says. Don't go to step two. Don't go to step three. Ask them, how did all this, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the planets, the universe, the trees, the oxygen, how did all that come into being from nothing? They'll say, well, there was a Big Bang, if they say the Big Bang. I don't know. There's so many different false theories floating around. So, well, where did that come from before that then? Ask them to go back to the very, very beginning. Because God very clearly details in the Word of God where everything came from. In the beginning, God. And God spoke everything into existence. God created you and I. God created everything. And it's through the process of time. If you believe the Genesis account of creation, it's not that difficult to understand. God can do anything he wants because he's God. And he tells us very specifically in the Word of God how God created everything. The oldest religion on planet Earth. Let me repeat this. The oldest religion on planet Earth. I don't care. Google it, search it, find out. Hinduism, Buddhism. It's the Judaism, the Jews' religion of Moses and Abraham. The oldest. The other ones, like, you know, Joseph Smith and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Charismatics, they've only been around for like 100, 150 years. Then the other religions like Buddhism and Hinduism, they've only been around for like 2, 3,000 years. Muslims have only been around for 1,400 years. The very first, listen to me good, religion in the entire world was Abraham and Moses. You and I are saved because we've been grafted in to Israel. Even though Israel has rejected God, we're saved because we've received what they rejected. Amen. It's very clear, especially in the book of Hebrews and Peter, that we're saved, we're born again, not because we're so smart or the Gentiles are so smart, but because of the Messiah that was prophesied in the book of Isaiah, that he's going to come in Psalm 22, die as a lamb on the cross and pay for our sins. It's very clear, clearly outlined in the Word of God. This is not some newfangled religion or not some newfangled denomination. It's not. I remind you, John the Baptist baptized Jesus. I mean, that'll tell you something. There were Baptists 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. It's not, people say, especially Catholic theologians and Protestants, they say, well, the Baptists didn't start until like the 1500s or the 1400s in Europe. Then where do you get John the Baptist from in the Bible, in the New Testament? How do you come to grips with that? It's in the Bible. Jesus picked out a Baptist to get baptized. So these are logical discussions that you ought to have with people, from atheists to people who corrupt the Word of God today, and get them to fact and to truth and say, well, what do you do with this verse? How can you believe that that book that you have in your hands is the Word of God if it has these lies and riddled with contradictions in it? You ought to ask them the question. And I'm not saying you ought to be mean. I'm not saying you ought to be nasty. I'm saying you ought to be straightforward and upfront, and like a pit bull, don't let go until they answer the question. Because everybody's afraid to ask a theologian or a scholar or some religious leader a pointed question about truth. If they're not willing to answer a question on truth, I wouldn't trust them at all. I think they're liars and deceivers. So they've changed the truth of God into a lie. You know the thing the devil can't do? He can't change God. God's unchangeable. I change not, he says. You know what the devil cannot do? He can't change the Word of God. He takes a book that is the Word of God, takes words out, puts other words in, but it ceases to be the Word of God at that point. He knows he cannot change the Word of God because the Word of God is like the breath. It's the Word, the breath of Almighty God himself. And just like you cannot change God, you cannot change the Word of God. When a mere mortal, sinful, wicked man decides to change some words for whatever reason, usually for money, okay, the love of money is root of all evil, these theologians, it ceases to be the Word of God at that point. That's why I tell you, you get yourself a King James Bible and read it. Have you ever heard anybody stand up and hold the English Standard Version, ESV, whatever it's called, or the NIV, or the New King James Version, and say, the NIV is the Word of God? I've never heard anybody say that. I've never heard anybody say the New American Standard is the Word of God. I've never heard anybody say that. I've been saved since 1978. I've never heard anybody say that. But I've heard hundreds and hundreds of preachers stand up and say the King James Bible is the Word of God. Why is that? These other perversions that people have written now for now it's 100 years plus, have brought us into compromise, a lukewarm churches, and no revival. The only revival we've had was because of the King James Bible. The truths of the Word of God. Take a Bible, turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. You get this wrong, you're going to get a lot of things else wrong in your life. I promise you that. Philippians chapter number 2. Starting in verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Did you ever show that to a Jehovah's Witness? I do. Did you ever show that to a Mormon? I do, because it's in the Bible. Jesus is equal with God because Jesus is God, according to John 1:1. John 1:14, Revelation 19, 1 John 5:7. He's God. It's all through the Bible. He's all through the scriptures that Jesus is God. It's without a doubt. But the ESV changes verse 6 and says this. In verse 6, this is what they say. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Then we just repeat that again. This is what the ESV says. In verse 6, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That's a lot different than who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So what you have is you have a line of theologians and scholars who hate God. And that's why Jehovah's Witnesses and all these other false cults and these cults and false denominations, they gravitate to these perversions because they don't believe that Jesus, they don't believe that Jesus is God. The Mormons don't. Jehovah's Witnesses don't. Muslims don't. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. Verse number 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The NIV, the ESV, and probably many others took the word worshipped out because they don't want to worship Jesus Christ. And they put their knelt before him. Do you think there's a difference between kneeling and worshiping? You better believe it. You better believe it. So the NIV, ESV, and all these other perversions that the perverts are pushing take away the deity of Jesus Christ, and you want to kneel down to him, but you don't want to worship him? Anybody can be forced to kneel if you know, put a gun to your head or force down, that doesn't mean you're worshiping anybody. But you and I ought to worship Jesus Christ because he's God Almighty, ladies and gentlemen. I said before where For those of you who are not here before, there were two lines of manuscripts. The good line comes from Antioch, Acts chapter number 11, verse 26, where the Christians were first called Christians in Antioch. The corrupt line is from Alexandria, Egypt, which was the theological center of the world then, founded by Alexander the Great. You know how wicked that man was? That man was a sodomite. He built the world's largest library at that point in Alexandria, Egypt. I mean, it was just the most detestable thing. I mean, beautiful and ornate as far as that, and very rich. And it was a shipping center there in the Mediterranean. But that's where all the religions got together that hated God and had their theological libraries there and their seminaries there. And that's where a lot of people like Origen and others who hated God wrote corrupt manuscripts that said that they kneel, not worship Jesus. So there's two lines of manuscripts. One comes from Antioch, Syria. Actually, if you're looking at me, it's going to be this way, Antioch, Syria. The other one comes from Egypt, and you know, Egypt is a picture of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing good comes out of Egypt unless you're getting saved, amen? So Alexandria, Egypt has a corrupt line of manuscripts, and Antioch, Syria has the incorruptible line, where the believers were first called Christians in Antioch in Acts chapter number 11. Those are the two lines that all the versions and perversions have been translated from. As far as I know, nearly every single perversion, NIV, ESV, ASV, NASV, RV, have all come from Alexandria that took away the deity of Jesus Christ. The only one that came from Antioch, Syria, called the Textus Receptus, the Latin word, the received text, is the King James Bible. And that's why the King James Bible is so different from all the other perversions. But people are so ignorant. I'm not saying yes, they are stupid, but ignorance is not stupid. Ignorance is just not knowing. People are so ignorant today that all they do is go in the bookstore or they go online and all they see is the words Holy Bible and they think it's a Bible. And the Bible is very clear that they make merchandise of God's people. So that's what I did. You think about this. In 1978, I got saved. And about 2 months later, 3 months later, I was in the Cherry Hill bookstore in the mall in the bookstore. And I picked out I bought a brand new American Standard Version at that point. It was like about $24, $25. 1979. I didn't know any different then. Within a year or two, when I found out that that was not the book, that was not the Bible, I literally tore it up page by page and threw it in the trash. Somebody deceived me. Somebody had fooled me because I just didn't know. I was ignorant. And that's what's happened across America, all across the world today. Publishers and people that want to make money are putting the words Holy Bible in print so they can make money off of God's people that don't care to know, don't want to know, are too lazy to know, too ignorant to know, or yes, ladies and gentlemen, too stupid to know. So I like the way this reads. No, that's because you don't read it. We're going to get to other portions of Scripture. You don't like the way it reads because it's worse than the King James Bible. This man that I'm about to read from, Frank Logsdon, was on the New American Standard Bible Committee member. He was one of the people on the committee that translated or wrote the New American Standard Bible. And here's what he said. I'm quoting now. I must, under God, denounce every attachment to the New American Standard Version. I'm afraid I'm in trouble with the Lord. We laid the groundwork. I wrote the format. I helped interview some of the translators. I sat with the translator. I wrote the preface. When you see the preface to the New American Standard, those are my words. It's wrong. It's terribly wrong. It's frightfully wrong. I'm in trouble. I can no longer ignore these criticisms I am hearing, and I can't refute them. The deletions are absolutely frightening. There are so many. The finest leaders that we have today haven't gone into it, talking about the new Westcott and Hort perversions. Just as I hadn't gone into it. That's how easily one can be deceived. Are we so naive that we do not suspect satanic deception in all of this? Now, this is one of the editors, translators on the committee of the New American Standard Version denouncing his own work. And he said, I'm in trouble with God. But yet, the damage is still being done. Because the average pastor, minister, reverend, whatever you want to call them, will buy this junk because of work that this man did unwittingly for Satan, who transformed himself into an angel of light. And that's what Satan will do to our lives too. He'll come to you as an angel of light and smile. He said, oh, I love everybody, you know, and smile, and he'll be so nice. And he'll deceive you and I. The only thing that separates us from the world is the Word of God. That's it. The only way I know about Jesus Christ is because it's in the Word of God. The only way I know about salvation is because it's in the Word of God. The only way I know about church or my life or marriage or children or health or finances, it's in the Word of God. You mess up the Word of God, you will be messed up somewhere along the line. And you're going to allow someone else to deceive you because of the love of money. The fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. You're going to be afraid to obey what God says because somebody else is going to ridicule you and mock you. Mr. Logsdon was a friend of Dewey Lachman. Some of you may not know who Lachman is, but he owns a copyright to the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version that came out as a result later on. Lachman was involved in a feasibility study involving purchasing the copyright of the American Standard Version with Lachman that led to the eventual production of the New American Standard Version. And that's the one that I had originally had bought, that I had no idea about. I thought it was okay. Take your Bible, please, turn to John chapter 14, please. John 14. I'm telling you, every pastor, every minister, every theological seminary that does not believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God is a liar. They're being deceived. They may not know they're lying, but they're lying to you. John chapter 14, very familiar verse, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. Is Jesus the life? All right, take your Bible, please, and turn with me to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Verse number 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Please watch this now. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when Jesus said in John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says in John 6, verse number 63, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You cannot separate Jesus Christ from his own words, ladies and gentlemen. So these people who use an English book other than the King James Version have a different Jesus than I do. The Catholics have a different Jesus than I do. The Greek Orthodox Church that I grew up have a different Jesus than I do. Any person that has any perversion of the Word of God has a different Jesus than I do, because I have the Jesus of the King James Bible. When you change one word, it ceases to be the very Word of God. It's man's word. You have a man's Jesus that wants to conform Jesus. Can you imagine this? That wants to conform Jesus Christ to man's thinking. But yet, that's what's been going on for 50 to 100 years plus. The New American Standard takes out the word Christ at least 16 times. It takes out the word Lord at least 10 or 12 times. It takes out the words, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, if you have no problem with that, take your Bible, turn to Revelation 22, please. If you have no problem with that, I would check your salvation if I were you. Jesus said the harlots and the publicans go into heaven, kingdom of heaven, before you. That's what he said to the Pharisees. And you get somebody who tampers with the very words of God, I would doubt their salvation before I doubt the salvation of a harlot or a publican or a drunk or a thief or a criminal. You listen to me good. Revelation chapter number 22. Verse number 18, verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You read that. A third grader understands what that means. How can a theologian not understand that? How can a minister not understand that? How can a pastor not understand that? How can a scholar not understand it? They don't care. They care more about money. They care more about a following. They care more about their name. They don't care about revival. When's the last time a revival ever broke out because of an NIV or New American Standard? When's the last time? That's never happened. Never happened. When's the last time somebody went street preach with an NIV? There's no power there. There's no power. There's no boldness there. There's no courage there. People say, well, it's not in the oldest manuscripts. They're not in the best manuscripts. That's what you see on the margins of some of these books, you know. They'll say, well, this verse, because I remember when I had a New American Standard Version, I crossed out the entire last half of chapter Mark 16. I just took a pen, I crossed it all out. Because in the margin it said something like the scholars said that this is not in the original manuscripts. So I said, well, if they're not in the original manuscripts, it's probably not part of the Bible. I just cross it out. Thank God it wasn't the Bible, amen. It was the New American Standard. I just cross it out. Taking a word of a scholar in the footnote on the side of the page there, it said, and they put it in brackets, you know, and they put a bracket in the start and a bracket to close. In the originals or in the oldest manuscripts. Well, I ask you a question. Well, let me just say some things first. The oldest manuscripts are the most corrupt manuscripts. There are the two. They call them A and B, Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. Okay? They were found in Alexandria and in Rome, the Vatican of Rome. Okay? And they were found in trash baskets. And they were in good shape because nobody used them. Nobody studied and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were true. And so as a result of nobody using them, they lasted long time. But in Antioch, where the believers were first called Christians, they kept using them and using them and using them. You know what happens after you use parchment? It breaks up. So you know what you do? You make more copies. So it is very true that the oldest manuscripts are the corrupt Vaticanus and Sinaiticus that Rome has today, that Rome is in charge of. If you believe the Pope in Rome, you got big problems, man. But just because just because they're the oldest doesn't mean they're the best, because we have letters today from first and second century Christians and bishops that were writing to each other with verses from the Greek, Textus Receptus, that are contrary to what the books and the parchments that Rome has today. So even though we don't have the oldest ones, because they were using them all the time. I mean, you come to my house, I've got about 6 Bibles. And my kids know this. I have one Bible, like one third of the Bible pages just coming apart. You know why? Because I was using it every day. I have to get a new Bible just about every 10 years. I'm telling you. I got to use black Gorilla tape on this book here. You can't see it from the pulpit, but I got black Gorilla tape keeping this thing together. Because I use it every day. Somebody said, a well-worn Bible belongs to a person who's not worn out. A new Bible belongs to somebody who's very worn out because you don't read it. Why don't you get your Bible out and read what God says? That's why I got black Gorilla tape coming up the sides here like this, just like you say right there. Because I hate to part with this, because I've had it for like 10 years or so now. And I know where things are by the margins and where they're at. And to be honest with you, I'm addicted to it because I know where they are. And it's very hard for me to go to another one. Well, those Christians, those believers in Antioch that were first called Christians, they were searching the scriptures daily, the Bible says, whether these things were so. And they didn't have the paper that we had that lasts a long time. They had parchment that were rolled up scrolls that became brittle over time and broke. And that's why they kept having to write new copies and new copies and new copies and new copies. But that doesn't mean that the oldest one is the best one. But they'll put that in the footnotes to try to make you think that this is more original. And so, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. A big deal, doesn't matter to me. There are a bunch of heretics in the Dead Sea Scrolls too. Just because they're old doesn't mean that they were right. But that's how people can't think today. Rome's in charge of the Codex Sinaiticus and the Codex Vaticanus today. They're the custodians of it. They have the false stream of manuscripts. The King James Bible has come from the true stream of manuscripts, the Textus Receptus. And by the way, what happened was when Erasmus, he was a genius, to be honest with you, in the middle ages there, 1400s or whatever it was, I can't remember the exact year, but when Erasmus put together the Textus Receptus for the first time, supposedly, okay, he was a brilliant man that could converse, listen to me good, in about 18 or 20 different languages. And these scholars on these perversions can't even speak 2 or 3, 4 different languages. When Erasmus came for the first time, put together a Textus Receptus, whatever it was at that time, as much as it was from that book that Erasmus put together that Martin Luther translated into the German. Martin Luther didn't take the Roman, he was a Roman priest, by the way. Martin Luther took Erasmus Greek and translated into German. And revival broke out all through Germany, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because they had the right stream, the incorruptible line of manuscripts and scripture. I think it was Tyndale, when he was burning at the stake, he said in the late 1500s, said, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. Because his whole life centered around the propagation of the true stream of the Word of God. And just 15, 20 years later, the King James Bible was printed. And God answered the prayer of a dying martyr being burned at the stake. That's why Satan hates the Word of God. He doesn't want people getting saved. He doesn't want revival. He doesn't want people living old-fashioned lives, believing the Word of God. Satan hates. Why is the King James Bible the most hated book? Think about that. NIV is not hated. Nobody preaches against the NIV except King James Bible preachers. I mean, how come you don't hear anybody preaching against the New American Standard or the English Standard Version or the other perversions? Because it's not hated by Satan. But the King James Bible is hated, and I'm out of time. Let's all stand. Father, thank you again for loving us. Please bless the morning service to follow. Thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we'll take about 10 minutes. Come right back. 10 minutes.